welcome to another episode of the Extraordinary Moms Podcast. I'm Jessica Dahlquist, your host, and each week I interview a different mom who shares their motherhood journey and the lessons they've learned along the way. And today is our Friday episode, but you guys have been so patient. This is coming out on a Monday because I've been on vacation in San Diego visiting my family and just having a great time. We were at the fair till very late last night, and it is showing in my voice right now, but I'm really happy to be with you and to be chatting with our Extraordinary Mom of the Month for June. We had a lot of great nominations, so many extraordinary moms out there, and I love getting to know so many new moms every single week. It is such a pleasure to do this podcast for you, so thanks for tuning in, and without further ado, I want to get to interviewing our Extraordinary Mom of the Month. This is Nicole, and she was nominated for just being an inspiring single mom who shares her light with all those she meets and inspires others daily. That is an extraordinary mom. So let's get talking with her and hear about her motherhood journey. I am so thrilled to be talking with Nicole Vasher today. Hi, Nicole.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Where am I talking to you from today?
Albuquerque, New Mexico.
All right. You're my first New Mexico guest. Congratulations. Oh, well, we want to honor you today as an Extraordinary Mom of the Month for the podcast. And your friend Amber nominated you. And I just want to read what she wrote about you in the nomination, and then we can get a little more background on you. She said, okay. I could write a chapter about why I think this mama is an extraordinary mom. She is a single mom who raises her boys with integrity and strength. And she rarely complains of her situations, but praises the Lord for what she has. She inspires me to be strong and diligent with my own kids. And she encourages, she shines bright. This mama inspires. And that is truly what an extraordinary mom is. Those small gestures and important work that you're doing in the lives of your children. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Yay. Well, why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself and your motherhood journey?
Okay. I found out that I was pregnant when I was 3 months pregnant. I had no idea that I could be pregnant. And 3 months later, I had him. He was 24 to 26 weeks.
Wow.
1 pound, 15 ounces.
Wow.
His lungs collapsed at birth, and it was touch and go for the first hour of his life. And we spent the first 3 months of his life in the NICU just praying over his life and what his quality of life could be if he did survive or if he didn't survive. And I had friends like Amber who just continued to pray and take me out and do things so that I wasn't stuck in the hospital or at the Ronald McDonald House, so that I could get out and be the mama I needed to be while he was in there.
That had to be extremely taxing on you.
It was very taxing. It was emotionally draining, and I don't know how I would have done it without my friends and family that chose to come out and visit, because it was about 45 minutes away from our hometown.
Wow.
The hospital in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where we were at the time.
Yeah.
He came home after 3 months of being in the NICU, and he was on a heart monitor, and they continued to do tests, and we found out about 2 years later that he was deaf. He could hear some, so we didn't really think that his hearing was an issue.
Mm-hmm.
So, I worked on sign language before we found out he was deaf, because he would get so frustrated and upset. Mm. So I started to relearn some of what I had already known growing up. I picked up sign language, and so I thought maybe this would be an amazing, communication barrier taker downer.
Right. Yeah.
This would really help.
Yeah.
And everybody was doing baby signs. So I thought, well, hey, here we go. Only mm-hmm. to find out later that he was deaf and we would need him.
Wow.
So
that is a miracle. You were prepared yes. for that. Yeah.
Yes. And about the time he turned one, my now husband would, be stationed in Jacksonville. So we moved, and that's how my second son came about.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He came back from deployment, and then that's how I became a mom of two, and
yeah.
then I became a single mom about 2 years ago.
Wow, you have a lot on your plate. That is for sure. Tell me about the best parts of motherhood for you. Why do you just love being a mom to these two boys?
I think my favorite moment that I knew, like, this was me, this is my job, this is what I'm here for. I had to wait about 2 years for my son to tell me that he loved me.
Mm.
And even though I had showed it, and he showed it in hugs and kisses, as mamas, we long for that love.
Absolutely.
So for him to finally be able to say it, and for me to know that I was doing what I was supposed to be doing, made me just love being a mom.
Yeah.
And doing what I needed to do for them, and watching them grow and do things on their own. That's what makes me feel like I'm a mom.
Yeah. And I think too, we long for that validation, but on so many days we just really don't get that. And I think that's what's so extraordinary about being a mom, is that you can serve and love so fiercely day in and day out with really very little positive feedback overall. You know, it's in the hugs and kisses, it's in the smiles, but when they say I love you, when they really show you that they love you, mm-hmm. I mean, that just fills you to the brim beyond any other job I know on this earth, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. And what's the hardest part been for you? I mean, obviously you've had your fair share of challenges.
I think the hardest part is doing it alone.
Yeah.
Most single moms, I say most, have their mom or their dad to be able to do that. And I took a mommy sacrifice and chose to stay in New Mexico because the school for the deaf is one of the top in the United States.
Oh, interesting.
My family, my parents are in Virginia. My dad's side of the family is in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. So I'm out here by myself. Their dad moved to Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
He's about 7 hours away. So I do all this by myself unless I have friends that come alongside me and help me when I need it. And yeah. I'm very grateful for that. But that's been the hardest challenge, is just learning to put all my trust and all my fears in God's hands and letting him walk me through this every day. And yes, there's days that are really hard, and I feel like maybe as a mom I didn't do the greatest, but the next day I get to get up and do it again and try better and harder. But that's the hardest part for me. It's like I don't have that other half, the better
right.
half of me, to tag team and be like, whoa, today has been a day, you take over,
right.
best times for you, and all this other stuff. And I thought, being a military wife with him being gone all the time, I naively thought, oh, single mom is going to be easy. He was gone all the time anyway. And when he was home, as much as I love their father, he wasn't mentally, emotionally home. So for me, it was almost like having a robot to do things for you if you needed them to be done, if he chose to do it. So when he left, I thought, oh, I got this in the bag. This is everyday life for me.
You've kind of already been doing it. Yeah.
But it's not the same, because you take for granted the little things they did do, whether voluntarily or involuntarily.
Yeah.
Those little things add up when you have that other person to do it, whether it be your mom and dad or your boyfriend or husband, whoever's with you as your co-parent.
Right. Oh, absolutely. I mean, I definitely know that feeling at the end of the day when, like you said, it's been a day and it's like, okay, I'm out, you're in. And to not have that
tag team.
Yeah. To not have that relief would be really, or even just the option of that relief would be really taxing. How do you build yourself up on those really long days?
I have just learned after 2 years of being on this journey mainly alone, how important self-care is.
Mm.
If I don't take care of myself, and as simple as having a glass of wine and reading a chapter in a book, or making sure I take time for myself, getting your nails done, getting new makeup, something that says this is just for me, because as a mom, you don't have just for me. Everything is theirs, your emotion, your time, your body, everything. And so making sure at the end of the day, I have a moment. As moms, we don't get me time.
Yeah,
bedtime
no,
is me time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So making sure that before I pass out, I carve just a minute to recharge. So when I wake up, I'm recharged on a different level and not on a physical level.
Yeah, absolutely. The episode we just had come out last week was about the book The Fringe Hours. Have you ever heard of that book?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and yes. So it's so smart to utilize the really small pockets of time oftentimes that mm-hmm. what will just recharge you? Reading a book, doing your nails, sitting outside, going for a quick walk.
Yes.
You know, those things that, you know, don't take a ton of time away from your kids, but you do need to take care of you, because if you don't take care mm-hmm. of you, you really can't take care of them.
No. Once you're depleted, what do you have
pull
to
from?
Give?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
And making sure the people you have around you are people that pour into your life and not so much strenuously only take from your life.
Absolutely. Oh, 100% agree. 100%. So what have you learned from having a son with a hearing impairment? How has that changed the way that you mother?
We're advocates, whether we realize it or not. Uh-huh. And it has showed me, how resilient they are. And he's deaf and he's proud and there's no, impairment for him. To him, he's mm. normal and 100% whole. He's not missing anything. And being inside the deaf community showed me, I don't have to parent any different than I parent with my hearing son. He learns the same values and morals in life. And the only difference would be that I added to my mom hat mm. as far as if we're sitting at a table, I'm mommy last and myself very last. I'm interpreter first always.
Wow.
Mommy second, myself third. So, which is why self-care for me was so important, because I am completely, completely last compared to most mothers who are, you know, mommy second.
Yeah, right.
So, that for me was the only difference in mothering. the biggest difference is my hearing son talked first and he was able to tell me exactly what he needed and everything else. And with my son, we're still learning his communication, which is American Sign Language. So there's some days where I don't fully grasp what it is he's trying to tell me.
Mm.
So that's the only difference, would be the communication and adding that interpreter to my mom hat. My
yeah.
other son is just like... Yeah, I have to fear what he says when
yeah.
I go in public. He's at that stage. I suppose I don't have to really worry about that with my deaf
yeah.
son unless he asks if someone's pregnant and they're not. And he makes the huge, like, oh, yeah, baby. And I'm, no.
Yeah, that's a pretty blatant sign. Yeah.
Yeah. That one's universal. I'm pretty sure she understood that. Oh, man.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's a problem. That's a problem.
Yeah.
We've all been there, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
That's really the only difference
yeah.
with him. I've learned more from him than I have from my hearing son.
Mm-hmm.
Just the way he is and the way he sees things and interprets things that we wouldn't, because facial expressions are everything.
Right.
With their dad being the way that he was emotionally shut off from life and things, I would be able to tell, hey, by my 2-year-old, not a good time to go talk or really be with him, because my 2-year-old would be able to tell that before I could pick it up, because
interesting.
He views the world differently because it's all body language and facial expressions.
Yeah.
So now I look at everybody's facial expressions and body language in a way that I didn't before.
Hmm. That has to be a great skill set to have in a lot of ways. And that intuition is really going to
mm-hmm.
serve all of you well, since you've kind of upped that level of intuitive, you know, reading of body language. And
yeah.
that's interesting.
We kind of say that he's missing a sense, but we got to add a sense.
Yeah, I can see that. Have you noticed a change in your hearing son? And how has having a brother who's deaf impacted him? And how's that going to serve him better in his life?
He gets to be a part of a bilingual family,
uh-huh.
just like if someone else was hearing or Spanish. But he gets to be a part of a whole different culture that most people don't get to even see or understand unless they watched America's Next Top Model or Dancing with the Stars with Niall DeMarco.
Yeah.
And got a little bit of insight into what my son's world is. But he gets to be a part of that because he's a sibling of a deaf child. Right now he still doesn't get it because my son can hear some, but
okay.
as a whole it's still confusing for him. If the dog doesn't listen to him, or if I'm busy and I kind of have a intentionally tuned him out,
right,
like doing dishes or something, and he's still talking about the same superhero.
Yeah, right.
He will say things like, "Why are you deaf like that? I'm talking to you." And I have to explain to him, "No, baby, I wasn't paying attention. I'm not deaf." Like,
right.
He's still understanding that, but I've watched him sign for my son or interpret, and their father knows as much as he can being far away. He's not immersed in it like we are, and we're not as immersed in his culture and language as when he's in school. He gets that 100%.
Right.
And when he comes home or when we're out and about in public, he doesn't get it unless someone knows his language. And then it's like, oh, you're one of my people.
Right.
Oh, you're hearing, but you're for me. You know my language.
Right.
And we're all about, you know, advocating for that. And I've watched my youngest son kind of say, "Oh, he can't hear you. He's deaf. You have to use sign language." And to him, he thinks everybody knows it.
Yeah.
So when he's like, "Well, why don't you know it?" And he's all offended. And
right.
I have to explain to him that we're special. We know something others don't, but you get to graciously teach them, and you teach them with integrity and grace, and you do it in such a way that you make them feel special too.
Mm.
You don't make them feel bad for not knowing. So that's something he's learning, and I see him doing it on his own more and more as each day goes on, when he chooses to interpret or when he chooses to be rude and just not look at him. And you know, we don't have the whole, "He's touching me." He's not looking at me.
Right.
Or in that's the fight in the back of the car.
Right.
He's touching me.
Yeah. That sibling interaction might look different than another family's, but there's still that same sibling rivalry and same.
Yeah.
It's all the same. Yeah.
We still have that, just like a hearing aid.
Yes, I love that. Wow, Nicole, I'm so inspired by your journey and just the strength and positivity throughout all these ups and downs that you've been able to maintain. I think the listeners are just going to really resonate with you because you're just so real and you've just, yeah, you're extraordinary.
Thank you. I feel like God's given me a platform to be able to do that. Like, this is our platform. Motherhood is like our, I feel like if we become a mom, that's part of our calling, no matter what we do in life. And so I feel like with the calling of being a mom, he kind of gave me a platform for something different.
Yeah. I like the way that you said that. And I think that we all have a story to share. We all do
have a platform.
And it's up to us what we do with that and how we use that for good, to inspire and encourage other moms and to help them along their journeys. Because we're all just doing the best we can.
This is your platform.
Yes.
This is what you're doing, and it's amazing. So.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, that is so true. Well, I always ask my guests one final question, and it's this.
Okay.
What would you tell your pre-motherhood self?
I would tell my pre-motherhood self that everybody in your life is considered part of your village, so be very mindful and very, very careful and diligent who you let into your village, because once you become a family, your inner village grows, and you're the one that has to prune and water and grow that village.
Mm.
And when you add other people to it, you could be adding weeds and not something that's going to grow well, and something that could really entangle and take out your village.
And that
I wish I would have known who I chose to be friends with back then. I think we're so rebellious on who we want to be friends with when we're teenagers. And even though I was a mom at 22, I was still living at home and I wasn't on my own yet. I married my husband a week after my son was born, and that was a whirlwind for me. And I didn't really think about who I married and how that was going to go. I didn't really think about anything because my mindset was my child could die. So I didn't think about that, and I let him into my village, and that's great because I have two boys. He's not the father of my oldest, but that's all my oldest knows, so that's really what's important. But after him, there were people that I put in my village because of him or for him that shouldn't have been in my village.
Yeah.
And that takes a lot of damage control to kind of put them out of your village and kind of protect your village once more.
Yeah, and it takes courage to set those boundaries that ultimately you know are going to serve you better, even though it's hard to maybe cut those ties at the time. Ultimately, you're strengthening your core when you do that.
Right. And as a single mom, we want so badly to either be loved or wanted, or to just have someone be there for you so you're not mm-hmm. by yourself, that some single moms don't think about
yeah.
the end game in that. And I refuse to date people and let my world be a revolving door in and out of my village. So that's something I would tell my pre-mommyhood self, you know, be careful who you put in your village.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. That's a really unique answer. Well, Nicole, it's been such a pleasure talking with you. Thanks for being on the podcast today. And we just think you're an extraordinary mom.
Thank you for having me. Yay. I really appreciate it. It was a lot of fun.
Well, best of luck with your summer, with your kids, and you just have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
Bye.
Bye.
I want to thank Nicole for being on the podcast today. She has been dealt a lot of challenges in her life, between having a son who's deaf to becoming a single mom and dealing with the military aspect as well. I mean, that's a lot of burdens to bear. But I just want that to be an encouragement to all of you who may be in your own season of being tried as a mom, or tried in your marriage, tried with one of your kids. You know what? You can do hard things. You can get through it. And you know what? You can inspire others along the way. It's amazing, this platform we've been given. It doesn't have to be big things. It could be connecting with that mom at the park that's sitting next to you on a bench that looks a little defeated. Empower and encourage her today. Ask her how she's doing. It could be, you know, asking that overwhelmed mom that you know if you can help, you know, drive their kids to summer camp, or bring them a meal, or just, you know, have a pool play date. There's so much that we can do to encourage and inspire all of those around us. And I know that each one of you who are listening are extraordinary moms too. And so take the opportunity today to share how extraordinary you are with the other people by just letting your light shine, just like Nicole. So thanks for tuning in today. It's been a pleasure to be with you. Next week, we have another amazing episode. I'm talking with Katie Lieber. And Katie is a mom who lives in Switzerland with her family right now. She's American, but she's lived there for the past about 8 years. And when she and her family were about to embark on a season of travel this past year, they got some devastating news that their daughter had a brain tumor. And the very day they were supposed to take off to embark on those travels, she ended up in a 12-hour brain surgery. Katie is an amazing mom, and thankfully her little girl is doing well today. But it continues to be a day-by-day event where they're just living life to its fullest and taking one day at a time and never taking for granted their good health, never taking for granted the opportunities they've been given. And she really promotes a message of being kind through all seasons and all circumstances. And I love that message. So I hope you all have a great week. And tomorrow, because this is Monday, tomorrow's the episode with Katie. So I can't wait for you to hear my interview with Katie Lieber tomorrow. And until then, have a great, great day. Bye.